Thomas has got the ball on his feet, can't get the ball to the left foot to hit the shot. It is a amazing hit towards Moore, cleared out the lane. But sliding there, Rory Patterson, who makes it 2-1 to Derry City. Rory Patterson is giving Derry City.
Boyd tries to get across. Boyd, what a goal from him! Nutmeg Steen Delaney comes off the inside of the post and makes it 2-0 to Derry.
Patterson. Oh, I just couldn't bring it out. It's outside. That was outside the box. The linesman was at least 3 or 4 yards away from where the ball was.
And a very good afternoon to one and all. You're very welcome to Match Night Live's preview show. I'm Felix Healy. Joining me in the studio today, my studio guests are two guys very much involved with the Match Night Live coverage, Kevin McLaughlin from Londonderry Sentinel and Eddie Sadak, the Derry Under 19 manager. We'll also be hearing from the main man himself, Mr. Kenny Shields, and James O'Toole with his usual roundup of all the other games being played today. Eddie, first of all, just reflecting back on the match now, overall thoughts on it?
It's a fantastic result for the club, and I think a lot of the credit has to go clearly to Kenny Shields. I know Dundalk had Derry City watched a few times, and the problem clubs are having when they watch Derry City, they don't play the same every week. He changes his tactics to suit the opposition, so you could watch them today, and if you're playing them next week, but they might change when they play you. So sometimes, I know Dundalk got a big report, they've done an hour long presentation on Sunday morning with the strengths and weaknesses of Derry, and Derry completely changed the way they played from previous matches, and other teams are going to have that problem when they play Derry, because Kenny does change his system and his tactics depending on the opposition.
Well, if anybody's been watching Derry City, surely they should have noticed this.
Well, the thing is, the point is they don't know how they're going to play against them. They play differently against Limerick, they play differently again against Rovers, and they play differently against Dundalk, and got results in all three matches. And I'm sure all three teams in their preparation had Derry watched the previous week, but none of it would have been any use to them because they didn't play the same way two weeks running.
Kevin McLaughlin, press man. Kenny Shields has been talking. It's the usual. We're up in the wilds of the north here, and the Dublin media are only concerned about the press or about the teams down at Dublin and co. Has any kind of a change this week?
Well, apart from Monday night, you had the Irish Independent sports header coming up. Dan McDonald was up and covered the game. I gave him a seat up in the scaffolding. They went up no bar and the ladder. I enjoyed that. So there's a bit of a change, but as I was saying yourself off air, we were sort of looking at things midweek there. The Sun brought their supplement out there on Wednesday, and their big front page, they promote their supplement, was all about Dylan Connolly at Bray and wanting to get back to full time football. You're sort of, in England, you're sort of thinking, no disrespect to Bray or whatever, but Derry have beaten a title contender in Shamrock Rovers and the champions, and you're still not getting the front page. Look, it's just one of them things. You as ex-parents, you know all about this. We know ourselves down here, if you look at an institute, they're always going to say, look at the Belfast, it's Belfast, it's Belfast. It happens everywhere. And to be honest, yes, you can be upset, but if you just keep racking up points, you don't really care what they're saying. They'll have to start writing about you then.
Possibly the best 8 days the club have had for a while, Eddie.
Definitely. The results, especially the Rovers match, was a battle, I believe. Dundalk wasn't the most fluid football match, but it was an exciting match. It was a good atmosphere at it. The crowd was right on it. They got a couple of gifts from the Dundalk goalkeeper Savo, to be fair. But I thought Derry deserved their win, and to have maximum points from the three matches, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the two lads, young Patrick McElhinney and young Michael Duffy. You know, what their thoughts were coming off the pitch.
Well, the only downside to the match against Dundalk was some of the vitriol that was thrown at Michael Duffy in particular. I thought it was way above what you would expect. We didn't want Michael Duffy to play brilliantly and score a goal, but he's a local lad, he's came through the ranks at Derry, got a great move to Celtic, which nobody would deny him, but some of the stuff that was thrown at him was way above the pale.
That's football, Eddie. That's football.
I think, but there's football, but I think what was thrown
Jose
at him...
Jose Mourinho's won three championships at Chelsea and
but especially, to be fair, to be a local lad who's done very well for the club. And Patrick McElhinney is the same, although he didn't get the same stick. But I thought it was over the top for what Michael Duffy
got. Sometimes when you're local, it's worse, Eddie. Trust me.
Well, not, trust not being a local, Felix, I'll never experience that.
Well, I'll never have guessed that, Eddie. Right, as I say, it's been a fantastic 8 days or so. It's been fantastic for Kenny Shields, and let's see how he responds to his thoughts on today's match.
You know, it's okay beating Dundalk and going to win at Shamrock Rovers, but the brain and the motivation within your mind works in mysterious ways, and I'm not saying it's a dairy thing, but managing expectations is a big thing in all sports, and football is no different. In fact, football is one of the most volatile, because we've come off the back of beating two of the biggest clubs, if not the biggest clubs in Ireland. Now the expectations are as, oh good, we've got an easy one, and football doesn't work like that. Drogheda is it's our hardest fixture. Psychologically, physically, all of those environs that's in there. So I have to say, and I really feel that this is a challenge. Lifting your game against Rovers and Dundalk and getting two results is fantastic that the boys were able to do that. But to lift their game against Drogheda, that's the challenge I've been speaking about all week.
The players will be on a high from that one on Monday night in McGinn against Dundalk. How do you bring them back down to earth this week?
Yeah, we've been working on that all week. You know, the most difficult thing is the ones that are out of favour, the bench. Managing the bench during a good time, that's very difficult. We had a tough session on Tuesday after Monday's game for the bench, and they weren't involved. These are things that you have to do as a manager and push yourself to do the difficult things, because a lot of people would say, well, everybody's got tomorrow off after a game. We've just beaten Dundalk. The seven players on the bench weren't involved. We had Rory Patterson and Conor McDermott doing a partial session because they're coming back from injury. So we had nine players up there on Tuesday. And the work I put them through, I wanted to see who is up for the fight and who's up for the challenge. And a couple of them, you know, could have worked their way into the team because the commitment levels they showed me. So you have to manage that. Then you have to manage the expectations of the team and getting them up for the next game. But league football is like that.
Of course, one of those players that was out injured and you put through their paces on Tuesday was Conor McDermott. Scott Whiteside stepped in for him on Monday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was pleased for Scott. It's not his best position. He's more of a centre-back, and he filled in for us there. So you have to give the boy credit for that. And I genuinely think that he'll have learned from that. He was thrown in at the deep end. And, you know, at 19, he's starting to progress as a player.
You must be very happy with one of your summer signings, your loan signings, Nicky Lowe. You must be really pleased with the way he's adapted to the League of Ireland.
What he has, which we don't have in the team, he's mid-20s. Well, I'll contradict myself there because Barry McNamee's 24 now. But generalising, you know, we've got so many 19-year-olds. Everybody's 19 now. And to have that 25-year-old in there and his presence of mind, his management of the game, as we talk about now, he bring in those game variables that experienced players do. Close out the games, for example. So when we were 2-1 up, the awareness and presence of mind to do that was there with Nicky. You can see that the game management of an experienced player is something we miss.
And finally, Kenny, is there any fresh injury worries for this week?
At the moment, no. But when you beat Dundalk, nobody wants to be injured. You know? And when I played football, you just didn't get injured because you wanted to play every week. And the modern day player and the resources that are available, the physiotherapy and stuff, we're more intelligent now. You've got an intelligent physio who knows when you overcook it and knows when to take the players off it. It's a great support mechanism for myself.
Well, that's Kenny Shields talking to Packy, our Match Night Live guy. Kevin McLaughlin, it's almost like a Lord Mayor's show this week. Derry have come unstuck against the lesser lights in the last year or so. And Kenny's fairly making that point there. I mean, it's not just Derry. He's not saying it's a Derry thing. It is, you know, you can use the example of Premier League where Liverpool do it against the bigger sides and the smaller sides. So it is something that they've got to be aware of tonight. Or today, I should say.
I think this is actually a bigger game than Dundalk, to be honest. And people think I'm crazy, but the good thing is, having spoke to players just coming out after the Dundalk match, every one of them was sort of switching on to Drogheda. Now we have to get focused, we have to get ready for Drogheda, we have to get ready. And that's what you want from them. You want to hear that. There was nobody coming out saying, no, this is us, we've made it, we've beat the champions the first time in ages. No, it was all focused. And to be fair, as you say, Kenny saying that straight away, and I would say straight away, Tuesday morning training session, they would have just told him, forget about it, celebrate. 20 minutes later, it's back on, head on for Drogheda.
And as Kenny's just talking about as well, Eddie, when you win the matches, nobody tends to get, you know, particularly when you beat Dundalk, nobody tends to get injured.
No, it's better than the magic sponge, isn't it, when you're in a good run of results and they're getting big crowds and everybody's talking about you, and, you know, that's the best cure for any injury. But as regards, I think Drogheda will be a tough match. But I know for a fact, I was speaking to Ken earlier in the week, and as I was speaking to him, he was actually sitting watching the video of Drogheda, so his preparation and the team's preparation will be top notch, and hopefully they can carry it through, because Drogheda will be a dogged team. Pete Mahan's teams are always the same, they're hard to beat. They've got the Brennans in playing with them again. They're probably not the youngest now, but they're all nippy sweeties and they're good players.
The one thing that you and I have talked about on many occasions is it doesn't matter how often you tell it to players, there's human nature. And it is very difficult to overcome that. You know, it's like sitting in the dressing room and you're going out to play Dundalk. You literally don't have to say anything. And this is where the manager really earns his corn. Was there any suggestion with chatting to Kenny that he was going to do anything different this week?
No, I think, as I alluded to earlier on, he'll watch Drogheda and he'll prepare his team as per Drogheda. And how the best way to get the 3 points. It may be different from the Dundalk match, it may be different from the Rovers match, but they'll certainly be well prepared, and hopefully they'll get the result that would take them, to have 4 wins out of 4 would be a super start to the season.
Ken, what's the social media been like this week?
Oh, it's great. After you beat the champions, everybody's loving it.
There's no stick flying around,
anyway. No, there's no stick this week. Give it a week, I suppose. No, everybody's loving it. There's a real good feel factor. There's a great buzz about, too, in Derry City Chat. And then you also have it on Facebook and Twitter. And people are now seeing, right, I'm not waiting to the last minute to get my ticket. I'm going early. I'm going up now to get my ticket because I'm seeing the last two games and first two games being sold out. And there's a chance, I would say, today's game will be sold out too.
Right. Listen to me more shortly. But first of all, just the Development Committee, they're seeking new and former members to join the monthly draw. And it's one of the main fundraisers for the club. Prize money, each month consists of £850 first prize, £300 for second, and they're now in a position to offer a free copy of 30 years of Derry City FC, written by our very own Mr. Gary Ferry, and the club's DVD of the Europa League run from 2008, and this is for a 12-month subscription or more. If you're interested, talk to Orla or Dorian. Dodie, in the office. The telephone number is 71273263, 71273263, or talk to anybody that's on the committee or whatever. There's some other games taking place tonight, so here's James O'Toole with his roundup.
Yeah, thanks very much, Felix. The Saw Doctor is there, perfectly summing up how most Sligo Rovers and St. Pat's fans may be feeling at the moment. It may only be match day 5, but after Monday night's losses, they will be praying for that one win that could see them have a chance, at least, to move off the bottom of the table. For Derry City fans, they couldn't be happier. A win over the champions on Monday night sees them with 9 points and a 100% record. While most people's surprise package of the season so far, Bray Wanderers also have 9 points and they sit in 4th place just behind Dundalk, so it's a very, very even league at the top anyway. So it's on we go, and we start tonight with the game at the Markets Field between Limerick and Finn Harps. For the home side, it's 1 win and 1 loss so far at home. Well, for Harps, they've the same record away from Ballybuffet. Martin Russell's side have gained many plaudits in their four games so far, and a determined performance last week against Dundalk, unfortunately not matched on Monday night as they went down to Bohemians. For Harps, a great result in the capital saw them leave Inchicore with all 3 points and heap even more pressure on Liam Buckley. Ollie Horgan will eventually praise his own team, and when he does, it's sure to be epic. So this game will be a game between a Limerick side who are consistently inconsistent and a Harps team who have played much better away from Finn Park. The only prediction that I can make from this one is it's going to be very unpredictable, and God knows how this is going to finish. If Limerick turn up and play football the way they did in their first game, they could hit a number of goals past Harps. But we all know Harps are a very determined team, and if Ollie sets them out the way we know he will, they could well sneak a point here to add to the four they already have. And it's on to the 7 o'clock kickoff now, and to two teams who would have been the bookies' favourites to win on Monday night. Stephen Kenny brought his Dundalk side to McGinn Park, expecting a tough game, but silently anyway, the full 3 points as well. And despite an early goal and a good opening from Dane Massey, it was the County Strikes who came out on top in that one. For St Pat's, it was another disappointing result, and if they don't turn a corner soon, you feel it's only a matter of time before drastic changes are needed on Emmett Road. The Richmond Park faithful may turn after a shock result to Finn Harps on Monday, and a trip to Dundalk is never an easy task. But as has happened in the past, teams up their game against the big boys, and if St Pat's can somehow get even a point tonight, it may keep the Wolves from the door and secure Liam Buckley's position for a while yet. And finally for this week's roundup, another team looking to record their first win are Sligo Rovers, as they sit at the bottom of the table. I said after match day two that Dave Robertson would be under pressure in Yates country, and Felix and Eddie both thought I was a bit premature. But with only 1 point from a possible 12, Bitter Red fans are not happy and are already questioning if Robertson has what it takes to get the best out of this set of players. And their visitors tonight, Bray Wanderers, lie in fourth place with 3 wins and a loss from 4 games. And the only poor and, if it must be said, slightly odd thing coming out of the Carlisle ground so far this season is their matchday posters, from seagulls flying over Dalymount Park to Hugh Douglas dressed as Braveheart, just 2 of their latest efforts. But just like Kenny Shields at Derry, if these distract people away from how good the team are progressing, I'm sure Harry Kenny and his backroom staff will be more than happy. It's hard to believe that Sligo were league champions in 2012 and FEI Cup winners in 2010, 11 and 13. But such is their fall from grace that any result tonight against Bray will be seen as a great one. So that's your roundup for tonight's games. And until next week, it's au revoir from me. And it's back to you, Felix, in right. The studio.
Right, James, thank you very much. Thank you very much. And it's almost half time now. I think it's just going half time at the Limerick Harps game. We got an update of that from our guys beside us shortly. Mr. O'Toole's having a bit of a dig at you and I, Mr. Sadak. Not about Braveheart now. Not about Braveheart. He hasn't seen Ian here. He's talking about us a bit harsh. We thought he was a bit harsh in Sligo. I don't remember that, actually.
I don't think Sligo are going to have a very good season, Felix. I think we mentioned it earlier on. I saw them pre-season. Wasn't too impressed. They've struggled so far, although they had a better result, although they lost down at Cork. But at the same time, I don't think they're going to be figuring they're going to be one of the teams battling relegation coming into the season.
Yeah, Bray on their way up there tonight. As St Pat's, Liam Buckley's under all kinds of pressure. Awful results, I suppose, against Harps last Monday night. And they're going to Dundalk today. It doesn't get any easier, does it?
Well, if you're looking at it, I would say by the end of the today, it'll be 1 point from 5 games. I can't see how they're going to get anything at Dundalk, because Dundalk's a wounded animal after Monday night. But look, as I said before, Ian Birmingham coming out with a line before the season started, we seem a fitter side this year. That blew me away. I couldn't believe he came out saying that, because at the end of the day, the same backroom team, Liam Buckley's still manager, and you're coming out with them statements. They might be a fitter side this year, but no disrespect, they're not a better side this year. They look to be worse.
No, it seems to me that St Pat's have thrown in the towel for a year or two, whatever's going. It's all about the money, guys. It's all about the money. Kevin, Eddie, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. After we hear from our donors, we join our Match Night Live commentary team at McGinn Park for Derry against Drogheda.